It's a schosen and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this parsha is by Yetze, such a jam-packed parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Perichov Ches, Pasuk Yud, Vayetze Yaakov Mber Shavo Vayelech Harana. And Yaakov, he's running away from Esav, and he departs from Be'er Sheva, and he goes to Haran. And Rashi says, why do you have to tell me? Why can't you just tell me Vayelech Yaakov Harana? So Rashi says, a famous Rashi, because when a tzaddik leaves a mokom, it leaves a roshan, it leaves an impression. Very interesting. Rashi, at the end of last week's parsha, again, we're introduced to Yaakov and Esav, and now all the stories are going to be about Yaakov and all his trials and tribulations, and he had a very, very tough life, and we're going to talk about the Shvatim. It's coming up soon. But last week's parsha, we know that there's a famous medrash that Rashi brings down, and he does a whole calculation of all the different years and everything. And Rashi says, the famous, which we all know as little children, is that Yaakov learned for 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. Comes along with Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emesli Yaakov, and he asks a very fascinating question. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah and Daf Chof Hei, a very famous klal called Oseik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah, that when a person is involved in a mitzvah, they are exempt from every other mitzvah. However, the Gemara tells us in the Dara Medav Tes Amud Beis that this patur, this exemption, does not apply to Talmud Torah. That if a person is learning, he does not have the exemption of Oseik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Rishonim explained why, because the whole idea of Talmud Torah is to lead a maises, to go and do the mitzvos. So now if you're going to tell me I'm learning Torah, and now I don't have to do the mitzvos, it seems like a contradiction. Comes along the great Rabbi Yaakov, and he asks an awesome question, that his parents tell him, run away from Esav, he wants to kill you, and go to Haran, get a wife, get a lot of wives, and it will be great. And all of a sudden, he's supposed to listen to his parents, keep it out of aim, as Rashi even says, that for 22 years he wasn't there, and that's why the whole story of Yosef, which we'll get to soon in a couple of parshas, the crazy story. But I asked Rav Yaakov, I don't get it, because your parents tell you to run away. It's like your parents tell you to go to the grocery store, and then you just go sit and learn for the next 3 years. Like, what just happened here? How can Yaakov, if again there's no patur of Oseik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah, how is Yaakov allowed to go learn for 14 years when his parents told him to go to Haran? And furthermore, we know that where did Yaakov go to learn? In Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. They didn't even get the Torah yet. Torah only came from Har Sinai, right? The Mishnah Chulin Daf Kuf. But what were they learning in Shem Ve'ever? They didn't have the Torah yet. Question one. Question two. We know that we're learning about the Avos, and we know there's a famous machlokas in the Gemara Brachos Daf Chavav, that why do we have tefillah, and we're, Baruch Hashem, we're all working on our tefillah, getting to the tefillah, and trying to work on our kavana. And the Gemara says, very fascinating, the Gemara says, do we have Shachris, Mincha, Maariv because of the Avos, because Avos Teknun? Or do we have it because of the Karbonos that they brought in the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara says that Shachris represents Avraham, Amida, standing up, and Yitzchak represents Sicha, the conversation, and Yaakov, in this week's parsha, right away, in Chav Ches Yir Aleph, by Yifgo B'makom, that he encountered the place, and the Gemara says, Ein Pegia El Tfila, that Yaakov represented the idea of Maariv, right? They make the joke, how come Yaakov represents Maariv? Because he had 12 kids, probably more kids, Rashi brings down, and each Shevet had a twin. So, you know, when you got a lot of kids, you try to get out of your house, especially at night when they're going to sleep. Okay, you don't like that joke? Okay, but it's a funny joke. So Yaakov represents the idea of Maariv. Now, if you would line them up together, we know that Maariv, the Gemara tells us in the next daf, that Maariv is a Rishus. Now, Maariv meeting Rishus, everyone's like, oh, I don't have to go to Maariv because it's Rishus. It doesn't mean that. Tosis brings down on the top of the page that Maariv Rishus means that when you have another mitzvah, that's a Doraisa, so you can do the other mitzvah. Now, if you would line them together, we're getting a little lumdish here, lumdish in the parshas here. If you align them together, you would say there's no difference, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore there's no difference between the tefillos. So therefore, when we say Maariv is Rishus, So therefore, that must be going in the opinion of Karbanos. Why? Because we know the Gemara tells us that Marav represents the leftover carbon. So it's not a carbon like the Shachris, Tam and Shel Shachar. So therefore, that's how you would line it up. It's very interesting. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Sachs, is coming for Shabbos. He always quotes the Rashi in Shabbos Daf Yunam with Beis that lines this up together. That if you hold Marav is Rishus, it's going like the Shita of that it's talking about Karbonos. However, there's a great Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon lived in the year 939, one of the great Gaonim, until 1038, 99 years. Lived a very long life. He was the son of Rav Shrier Gaon in Pumtadisa. Pumtadisa now is Iraq. And he wrote a beautiful sefer on the mitzvot. Again, a lot of mefarshim that deal with the mitzvot, the Rambam and the Ramban and all these different, and the Chinuch. So many different mefarshim on the actual 613 mitzvot. The only thing that we don't argue about, we argue what the mitzvot are, but the only thing we don't argue about, according to the Gemara Makos, is that there are 613. But comes along Rav Haigon, and Rav Haigon says something amazing. Rav Haigon says that really we say that really it's the Avos. And then he goes and he says, but it's Mariv is Rishus. And ask the great Nitziv, the Rosh Yeshiva of Elazhin, Rav Naftali Svi, Yehuda Barlin, it doesn't make sense. If you're telling me it's the Avos, then why is there a difference between the Tefillah, between a Yaakov and an Avram and a Yitzchak? And question three, we know that we have the whole story with Yaakov and Lavan the trickster and he's married Rachel and Leah, and the Gemara Megillah, that's about the signs, and then Yaakov Shweki has a song about giving her the signs over on her wedding night. I'm not going to sing it now, I know you guys, what? Avi Rottenberg, thank you, good, Avi Rottenberg on her wedding night, and then not Yaakov Shweki, maybe Yaakov Shweki sings it also, because, you know, everyone, yeah, so Avi Rottenberg, Baruch Hashem, good, and we know that Yaakov married Leah, and Leah thought, Rashi brings down the Medrash, that Leah thought that she was going to marry Esav, and therefore that she always had tears in her eyes. And it's fascinating, because if you look in the Torah, Perichov Tes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, she starts having children, as we know, she's married to Yaakov, the Tzaddik, one of the Avos, and it says, V'tahar Leah, V'tela Ben, V'tikra Shemo Reuven. Why, says Rashi? Ki ro'o Hashem be'ani, ki atoya heaven ishi. Because I thought I was going to be humiliated, but now I'm going to have a husband that will love me. And all the names. And then she had another son. She had a son, Shimon. Because Hashem, snu anoki, I thought you were going to hate me. And then she has another son, Levi. Again, hapam yilva ishi. This time my husband will come and be attached to me. It's all related that she thought she was going to marry Esav. And it turns out that she married a Yaakov. And then it comes to Vatar Od, the famous Pasuk, Hapam Odes Hashem, she has Yehuda, and that's why we're called Yehudim. We're called Yehuda, the idea of Hapam Odes Hashem. And the Gemara says in Brachos, a fascinating Gemara, the Gemara says in Brachos of Nav Zion, that Leah was the first one to have Akaris HaTov. Really? Leah's the first one to have a Karas HaTov. There was an Avram before, there was a Yitzchak before, there was a Sarah before. There were so many of the Avos and the Imahos. This is the first one. Again, you do the math. There's four wives, a lot of wives. And you do the math. 12 divided by 4, you have 3. So finally she realized that she's going to have more than everyone. She's going to have 4. And then she even had more. But still, the Gemara, what's the Gemara saying that she's the first one to have a Karas HaTov? So let's just review the questions quickly, make sure we have it in our back pocket. Very interesting questions, I think. That's why I'm saying them. Maybe they're not. But the first question is that we have the Ptur Osig Mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah, and it doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. So how can Yaakov go run to the Beis Medrash? It's nice he's being stark and learning the Torah, but when your parents tell you to do something, right, you got to go and listen to what they're saying. Question two, if we say that it's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Rav Haigon says, still Marav is Rishus. Why is the tefillah of Yaakov different? And lastly, how come the Gemara says that the first time we see Akaris HaTov is Leah with Yehuda? So what's the Yisod? And again, we're going to tell stories, because it's about the stories also, obviously. But what's the Yisod? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says an amazing Yisod. And he says that you could think that these 14 years were just 14 years of learning, Steigende Torah, learning Kiddushin, learning Shlichus, learning Baba Metzia, learning all the different Masechtas, learning the Daf Yoimi, finishing up Rosh Hashanah, starting a Tainus soon. So you could think that the 14 years were just about delving into Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, even though Torah Shebichsav wasn't there yet because they're going through the process. I mean, it was there, but they're going through the process of life. So, but still, what were these 14 years? Says the Radakal Kamenetsky, you know what these 14 years were? They were the foundation, they were the building blocks, they were the Yesidus. They were building Yaakov, because Yaakov realized he's going to live a difficult life. He's going to have all these things thrown at him. First he has an Esav last week's Parsha. Then he's going to have to deal with a Lavan. Then he's going to have to deal with Esav again. And then he's going to have all the stories with the Shvatim, such a hard story. Right, and my mother, shout out to my mother. How come they didn't think about Yaakov? Such a crazy story. And again, the Gemara in Shabbos says that we're still suffering from that story with the Shvatim. Again, we don't fully understand. We don't understand everything. But says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that Yaakov had these 14 years because they were the building blocks. They were creating. And if a person, before he's going out to the world is a great place because Hashem created it, but sometimes it's a little tricky. Sometimes we have things thrown at us. We have these phones, which are great, but guess what? They're very distracting. And sometimes things pop at us like, whoa, what just happened here? We have a lot of distractions. But we learn from a Yaakov, how do I deal with it? So how do you get those building blocks? By delving into the Torah. The Ramban writes that every word, every letter of the Torah is Shemosav Shel Hashem. If a person wants to build a connection with God, he has to learn about Him. He has to understand Him. The way you learn about Him is by learning the Torah. So says Rav Yaakov, that's what the 14 years are about. The 14 years represent that I'm going to delve into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm going to get a real close relationship with Him. You know, it's very fascinating. Yaakov, before he's about to leave, and he's on his journey, the Torah tells him in Pasuk Chav, Vayidor Yaakov Nedor. Yaakov went and he took a vow. Im Yelo Elokim Imadi, if Hashem's going to watch me, Hashem's going to be with me. Ushmarani Baderech. And it's fascinating because we know the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim that a neder, a vow, is not really such a good thing to do. A person shouldn't make vows. We even know the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Ksuva says that if a woman makes a vow, the husband has the ability to be made for it. He could annul it. So why is Yaakov making a neder? It's not such a good thing. And Tosis brings down that question in Chulin and Da'afes on the Beis. And Tosis says something amazing. Tosis says that you know why he had to make this neder with Hashem? Because he was Be'ei Sara. He was in a time that there was, he was in a time running away from Esau. His life was on the line. Halakha Libo quotes down a beautiful Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer says that if you look at neder, you look at the first word, Nun Dar with Hashem, Nun represents 50. What's 50? 50 is Lemaila Minateva. The great Maharal says, we all know Hanukkah is coming up. 8 represents 7 days of creation. 8, Limala Minateva, going above, Hashem doing more. As we know with Bris Mila, Limala Minateva, going above nature by Bris Mila. But comes along the Maharal and he says that 50 also represents Limala Minateva. Because you have 49, 7 weeks. 50 represents the Yovel, the completion of a Shemitah cycle, which we're in right now. And 50 represents, you have 7 weeks building from a Pesach to a Shavuos, 50th day, Zeman Matan Torah Seinu. It's Lemaila Minateva. Says the Lekav HaLibub, Gavaldik, Yaakov Avinu was making a neder Nun Dar, because he needed to go Lemaila Minateva. He needed to realize that he's Be'ei Sara. And since he's Be'ei Sara, he needs to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in him, but he had to go and turn to Him. You know, we're all working on ourselves, working on our midos, our character traits, working on tefillah, and we realize, Rav Soloveitchik was often saying, you know, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, if tefillah is deraisa or not, but according to the Rambam, even if he holds that it's derabbanan in Eitzara, in a time where you have to reach out to Hashem, the Rambam says that that's also deraisa. And Rav Soloveitchik, I heard b'shem my grandfather, Rav Amzin Zatzal, that the Rav would often say that we're all Be'esara nowadays, how the nations of the world want to destroy us, and how we have things thrown at us, and we have challenges. We're all Be'esara, so every time we daven, we're on a level of a Doraisa. But we're all working on ourselves, different ways. Right? A person, he doesn't want to get angry, he's getting frustrated, and things are not working the way he wants. There's an idea that he's going to control himself. A guy's driving, just a small little thing, a guy's driving, and someone cuts him off, and he doesn't honk, and he doesn't go crazy, he calms himself. I heard a great story, we love stories, that there was a guy that went to America, he went to go collect money, and trying to raise the big cash, and he didn't drive so much, so he got a driver. You get a driver that drives you around to the wealthy Gvirin, and he's going around, Baruch Hashem, he's doing well, and he meets an old friend who's very wealthy, a Baal Tzedakah. It's all about making the cash and being a Baal Tzedakah. Obviously learning the Torah also and doing the mitzvahs. But he meets an old friend, and he says, I'd love to help you, but I want to let you know that I have a daughter, it's in Shidduchim, she's getting a little older, do you know of anyone? And he's thinking, he's like, oh yeah, I have someone. My driver, he's such a nice guy. He drives me around, having nice conversation. He's also looking for a shidduch. And the most amazing thing is that we're driving everywhere. He never honks his horn. He has such midos toivus. He's such a great person. And then they meet, they set up the shidduch, and obviously, good story, they get married. And one time the father-in-law turns to him, he's like, you know, I just want to let you know that you have amazing midos, I heard, and I see you have amazing midos, Baruch Hashem, I was lucky to have you have a son-in-law. And one of the major things is that you showed me that you can work on your midos because you never honk at someone. And he's like, that's so funny. The reason, you know, I got this call to drive this person around, and my horn was broken, but still, I needed the cash, and I needed to drive around. I didn't have it fixed. I wanted to have it fixed. It's a little dangerous not to have a horn, you never know. But look, Hashem, he's guiding the way. I didn't have my horn fixed. Because of that, the shidduch went through. Okay, I'm just telling you a small detail that a person could work on his midos just by not honking the horn. Again, there's soul. You have a roommate. You guys know you have that roommate. You can't stand that roommate. He's a slob. You're neat, or you're a slob, and he's neat, and it's not working out. You could work on your midos just by not saying things to each other. So Yaakov was being sorrow, and he turns to Hashem and he says, Hashem, I need to make a neder with you, even though a neder is not allowed. But still, I need to make a neder because I need that closeness, I need that relationship with you, and I want to go lemaila min ateva. You know, I heard many times, you know, I quote my grandfather a lot, Reb Amzer Zatzal, Namashit Tzadik, a big rov. Taught in Yeshiva University for over 50 years, and he says a gavaldic thing. I heard him tell this many times, and he says that really it's a progression. Avraham represents Amida, and then Yitzchak represents Sicha, and Yaakov represents Pegia. It's not just three different tefillos. It's a progression. You have Avraham standing up, and again, we all know that sometimes it's hard. It's hard to show up. It's hard to get there, but sometimes level one, obviously, is you need the Amida, you need the standing up, you need to get there. And then you have the Sicha, you have the conversation with Hashem, you talk to Him, you tell Him what you need, you can talk to Him wherever you are, you're stuck in traffic, got to get to that meeting, I'm going to be late, not going to lose my job. Say, Hashem, open up the ways, let me fly. No, you're not going to fly, that's a little weird. But Hashem, let me get there quicker, and all of a sudden the traffic just disperses. You know, you got to talk to Hashem whenever you are. You have tefillah, you need an organized tefillah also, but you can talk to Hashem whenever you are. You're stuck on a sugya and you don't know what's going on. You say, Hashem. They say, Gedolim. You know, they turn to Hashem in the middle of learning. And they're like, Hashem, give me pshat. Let me understand this line in the Gemara. Talk to Hashem. That's sicha. And then the next level is Yaakov Avinu, pegia. The meeting with Hashem, realizing the total connection. That is the connection. You know, the Baal Turim says that we know that Sulam, we know Yaakov Avinu was going up and down the Sulam, and we all taught his little children, right? Probably my kids are going to come back with the Sulam, all the angels coming up and coming down. And the Baal Turim says that the gematria of Sulam is Kol. Kol with a Vav. My father loves gematria, you can do it, I hope it's right. It sounds good anyways, I trust the Baal Turim. That Kol with a Vav, because my voice, if a person wants to go up in the ladder, He needs the call, the voice to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then says the Baal HaTurim, not only that, the Gematria of Sinai is Sulam, because it's not just enough with the kol. Obviously, kol is very powerful, but it's also with the Sinai, it's with the Torah. So why is it? Why is it that Leah is the first time of Akaris HaTov? So I once heard from the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Isaacson, I once heard him say in his Isaacson series, he said, Gevaldik, he said, she thought her whole life that she was going to marry Esav. Baruch Hashem, Rachel gave her the signs, A.B. Rottenberg song, right? Akashreki sings it also. Yeah, and giving her the signs, and she marries the great tzaddik, Yaakov Avinu, who created Klal Yisrael, continuation from Avram to a Yitzchak to a Yaakov. But she always thought she was going to marry Esav, and finally she has that. She gets Yaakov, and then Pam Odes Hashem, because there was a paradigm shift. She thought one way, and then all of a sudden she was able to look at it the other way. Because sometimes in life, we're going through the motions, we're going through, we all have our life story, and we're all going through it with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we look things in one way, and we don't fully understand it. But then we see, we have to have that paradigm shift, and realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is holding our hands, and He's there with us. Why does Yaakov represent the idea of Maariv? Because Maariv is, there's darkness, it's Esara. It could be, according to Rav Haigon, Avos Tiknun, but why Maariv is Rishus? Because there was a different type of tefillah here. It was a tefillah be'esara. It was a tefillah that Esav's chasing after him. All the different things that are going to happen, the story with Dina, and all the different things of Yaakov's hard life. But guess what? He persevered because he held on to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This paradigm shift, just to end with a great story. We love stories. I told this story last year. It's such a powerful story. The story goes that there was a guy that was off the derech. He went through the Holocaust, Nebuch, no one should ever know. And we can't judge anyone different, crazy. Imagine watching people die left and right. You can't even imagine. The numbers are 6 million. It's mind-boggling. We can't imagine. You know, my wife's grandfather went through the Holocaust, and Baruch Hashem, he survived, you know, without him surviving. Yeah, but Baruch Hashem, but they tell a great story that there was a guy that went off the derech. And he went to a Rebbe, he was talking to him one time, and he said, Rebbe, you know, I'll tell you what really made me go off. There was a guy that had a pair of tefillin. And there was a guy every day, in order to put his phone to put on tefillin, he had to give up his bread, the bread of the day, again, a nourishment. People, you know, didn't make it because they didn't have any food. And every day he got bread because put on tefillin. I saw, what kind of person is this? You have tefillin and you're taking people's lives? They're taking their lives because you want them to put on tefillin. So the Rebbe turned, such a powerful story, and he said, I hear your pain, but just look at the other way. Look at all these Jews that were going to be moser nefesh to put on their tefillin, and they're ready to give up their lives, give up their bread for the tefillin. Look, the power of mitzvahs. And again, Baruch Hashem, we have tefillin, we have Torah, we have religious autonomy, we have the Ribbono Shel Olam, we could daven whenever we want. We have to realize how lucky we are. So just to answer these questions, Yaakov was able to learn for 14 years because it wasn't just a Torah, it was a Torah of the building blocks, realizing I'm going to have a hard life, but I need for me to go on, and that's what we're building ourselves. We're learning yeshiva, not of course for the Torah, to know Hashem's Torah, but we're building ourselves. Why did Yaakov represent Maariv, which is Rishus? It's because Yaakov represents the Yitzhara. Then I'm in the time that I need to call out to Hashem, and we all can work on ourselves in different ways. And lastly, Leah realized Apam Odis Hashem Akaris HaTov, because this is the first time there was a paradigm shift. She thought her whole life was one way, but then it just flipped so quickly. Bezes Hashem, everyone should come. Parshas Vayetze, take it in. These are juiced up parshas, jam packed. Everyone should learn them, realize they're connected. And Bezos Hashem, everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.